There we go. Right, I shall make a start. So my name's Debbie. I'm of Tranquil Awakenings, that's my business. And I'm a therapist and I'm a therapy trainer. And I'm here today to talk about past life regression, specifically some of the more unusual things that can happen during a past life regression session. So when I first started my career, I was very, very clinical in the type of work that I did. I dealt with the mind. However, when I started working with my clients, I would ask them to go to the root cause of where their issue first began. And sometimes something very interesting started to happen. They would spontaneously past life regress. So all of a sudden, I'd no longer be talking to John, who was sat with me in the room. The individual would become a whole different persona and a different identity. And from that experience, I had to very quickly reorientate myself to find out what on earth was going on and where the issue originated. So I'd guide that individual through the significant events of that lifetime to bring about a resolution. So I started to read up more on the topic. And this has been something throughout my career. I've never gone and read information or watched things and then they've started to present themselves. What's always happened is I've had a client that's come in and has given me something completely new and challenging to deal with there and then. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I've been learning on the job. And a lot of the time I've thought, what on earth have I just experienced? And then sometime later I'll read a book or magazine and it will show, ah, that's the answer. So I began to explore past life regression in a lot more detail and started to give past life regression therapy sessions. So different therapists work in different ways. What I like to do with a past life regression is I take the client back to a significant past lifetime that is relevant for them at this time. Because then I think whatever they're going to get is going to be something meaningful to them. So we go back to the past life and the person will find themselves in that past life. It may happen instantly, or it may take a little time for them to reorientate themselves. It may be that they notice a smell to start with, or a sensation. They may not automatically see something. And then we gather information. It's like being an investigator. So I will ask lots of different questions about who are you? What can you see? What can you hear? What can you feel? Who's around you? What are they doing? Where are you? And we gather information. And quite often that first event that you go to is something, that's okay, that isn't overly significant. It's normally they're fairly content and happy. Not always, but normally. So we gather as much information as possible, and then I take them to the next significant event within that lifetime. And normally they stay within that lifetime, not always. And we start to compile information about all the main events that happened throughout that life. Find out who they were, what happened, and what their journey was. And then after that point, we go to their deaths. And that can be a bit strange for people to recognize that you have passed away before. Sometimes that is nice and peaceful, whereas at other times, those death experiences can be more traumatic. Particularly if we think about history, there's lots of trauma, there's lots of battles, there's lots of things like starvation and corruption. So sometimes I had to become very experienced and very calm at dealing with somebody having an emotional reaction. So sometimes the person would simply describe to me what was happening through their death. At other times they would act it out. And the first time I saw that, that was a little bit alarming. I had a lady who was being strangled to death in her past life. And she started to act like she was being strangled. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is really, really scary seeing this being acted out in front of me. But after about a minute, she just went very calm, very peaceful and very relaxed. So after the death scene, we then go to beyond. We go to that first moment of total peace and tranquility where we're in between lives. We're at a soul level, connected back to source, and we can have a more objective point of view of that past life experience. And what I would do is I'd find out from those individuals Why did they choose that lifetime? What lessons did they intend to learn in that lifetime, and did they achieve them? How has that lifetime, hello, come in, impacted them in the current lifetime? And is there anybody from that past life that is in their lifetime now? And that was how a standard past life regression session would go, until that stopped happening. The majority of the time that will still happen, but now other scenarios have started to present themselves in my work over the last few years. Sometimes I have found that individuals do not pass into that in-between life state as they should. Sometimes, that's okay, that is because they experienced a death that was so violent or so traumatic that a part of their soul energy got lost. A part of them split off and remained within that past life experience. It's okay, come on in. So when that happened, what normally happens when a person passes is they will sometimes see a tunnel of darkness, or it would just be instantly bright, or they'll notice a bright light appearing and they will go into that bright light. And the same research is found from all different cultures all around the world, not only past life regression therapists, but lots of people who explore near-death experiences. There's a general feeling and a general experience that people tend to see this light and they go into it. However, this wasn't always happening for some of the clients. It was as though part of their energy was getting stuck in the past. So they were then going into the in-between life state, incarnating here in this lifetime, but they were coming through with problems. So sometimes those problems might be a phobia or a fear that is completely unexplained. They have no idea where it came from in this lifetime. Sometimes it can just be a sense of, I don't feel complete. I feel like a part of me is missing. I feel like I don't belong in this time frame. So when that started to happen, I realized a deeper therapeutic journey needs to take place within those past life sessions. Not only did we need to experience the past life and what it was all about, we also needed to do some healing work with those individuals. And that healing work depended on the issue that had occurred as to what needed to happen. So one of the priorities we started to look at was soul retrieval. Finding those missing pieces of themselves and bringing them back to being a whole being so that they could feel complete and safe. In order to do that, we would also need to release trauma. So particularly if you've had a traumatic death, that can carry through. So sometimes it would be asking a guide or a being of light to come and assist the individual to remove that. At other times, we needed to interact with the perpetrators, the people who had done it. And that was often easier to do in the in-between life state, calling the soul forwards of the other being that was involved in that death or that scenario to find out, why did it happen? What needed to be balanced between the two individuals? And normally it was some sort of karmic connection, where in one life one had been the perpetrator and in the other life they'd been a victim and they'd swapped over. At other times it was that an individual had violated and taken that person's free will and stop them going on their life path that they were meant to achieve. So a dialogue would need to take place in order to resolve it, and also cutting cords with that individual. So energetically, and we do this in our day-to-day life, when we meet people, our energies merge. So I've got an auric field, an electromagnetic field, and that will connect with all of your electromagnetic fields. We're all energy that flows through our body and around us. And when we're feeling really positive and good, it's nice and strong. However, if we have difficulties, it can become incomplete or damaged. And also it means that we can then end up reaching out and connecting with other people. That can be good. There can be positive cords and connections. However, sometimes we can become energetically attached or connected to somebody in a damaging or toxic way. And when that happens, we can start to feel drained, depleted, ill. So another part of that therapeutic process was then to remove those negative cords so that those individuals were no longer passing negative vibes between each other and they could go about their own separate ways. It then started to get even weirder. Sometimes that part of the soul that had been fractured had started hounding the person in their present lifetime. They were hearing perhaps a little voice or having a feeling or sensation that they were meant to be on a different path. I had one lady that came to me once. She was very meek and mild. She wanted to start a holistic well-being business, but she'd ended up working in the military. And she didn't even really know why she was working in the military. And every time she tried to leave, instead, she kept pushing for promotion. And it was like there was this little voice in her head telling her she had to achieve and do more. And she came for therapy, and we initially thought it was going to be parts therapy, working with the different parts of her mind. But it very quickly became apparent this was something more. I asked her to go to the energetic origin, and when we went back to it, in a past life, she had been a commander in the military. She had been very determined, very strong man, and she was going to get as high as possible. She was very dedicated, but her life got cut short on the battlefield. And that energy of, I was meant to achieve more, along with the sudden death, meant that that part of her energy stopped within that past lifetime. But when parts of our soul and our energy fragment, they stay connected to us. So this part had followed her through into this lifetime without properly integrating, and instead had started to give her messages to achieve and succeed in the military. Now, of course, that wasn't her life path in this lifetime. It wasn't what she was meant to be doing. So in order for her to find peace and to be able to open her business, we had to go back in time to provide therapy to that commander to explain that you carry on living, you carry on existing even when your physical body has died. But by pursuing your interests in the way that you have been instead of going into the light, you're actually damaging your future self. And as soon as that individual recognised that, they were willing to let go. We could then reintegrate the person as a whole and send them into the light. And after that, that lady very quickly left the military and changed her whole life and is now living very congruently with who she is today. There are other times, however, where it isn't part of an individual's own past life. Sometimes there can be an external attachment instead, acting as though it's a past life. And this can occur in different scenarios. So one of them is that an individual has perhaps had a conflict or a difficulty with someone in a past life. And that other character, that other person, instead of going into the light and to heal as they should, they hold on to their vendetta or their anger or their hatred, and they vow revenge. So instead of going to where they should and carrying on with their own journey, they say, I'm going to find that person that killed my family or that knocked me out in battle, and I'm going to get my revenge. And they go around from lifetime to lifetime as a lost soul looking for that person until eventually they find them and then they start attacking them energetically. Now, the first time I had that, I did not know what to do with it. And I thought, do you know what? If this is a being here that's claiming to be something other than this person I'm working with, I need to work with them therapeutically. So that's what I did. I sat down and I said, right, let's talk about you then. What happened? And we had to go through the past life events to find out why this person was being attacked so that there could be healing and forgiveness on both parts. And then once that occurred, that soul that had chased this person throughout time could then go into the light. Other times I've had scenarios where it has appeared that I'm giving somebody a past life regression session, but something just doesn't feel quite as it should. So we go through that entire life, and then we come to the end, and instead of going into the light, the individual doesn't. They're lost roaming around in the darkness. They can't find where they're going. Now, that could be that it's soul fragmentation, but it could be something else. And I need to work out very quickly what that something else might be. So the simple question I would ask would be, let's say the client's name's John, And when did you join John in this lifetime? If it's a genuine past life, there'll be no answer. It won't make any sense to that person. If, however, they pipe up and say, I joined him when he was 10, that might indicate to me that it's a lost soul that has been wandering instead. So the past life experience we've gone through, it's nothing to do with the client, it's actually somebody else, an energy that's been attached with them and been stuck. So when that happens, what I need to do is I need to provide therapy to those lost souls. Because if they're in somebody's energy field, they're going to be making them feel depleted. Even if they've attached for a positive reason to look after the person or care for the person, if somebody's in that state where they haven't gone into the light but they're no longer in their body, they need an energy source. So if they've attached to another person, then they'll be draining that person's energy. Also, if they died with, say, certain addictions, they may be impressing those addictions on the person they're attached to. If they died with aches and pains in their body, if they haven't properly realised that they're no longer in their body and they need to go to the light, they may start to make the individual they're with have the same aches and pains. So it's of utmost importance for that client's well-being that we shift them on. And it's also really important for that lost soul. If I've asked that question and I'm still not satisfied with the answer, I will ask the client to come forward and speak to me, as they are now. And I would simply say to them, this past life we're exploring, is it part of your own energetic system or is it something external? If they say it's part of their own energy, it will indicate to me it's probably soul fragmentation and we need to heal that individual. If they say it's something external, I need to treat it as a separate being. Makes my life very, very interesting and very obscure. The majority of the time when people come for past life regression sessions, they are normal past life regression sessions. However, on occasions, these unusual scenarios happen. And it's something, I hope you don't mind me pointing you out, Maud. So Maud has just qualified with me as a past life regression therapist. And I always feel that my learning I need to pass on to other people, because if I'm experiencing these things, other people will experience them as well. So on my course, we do a lot of training on unusual scenarios that may or may not happen. And you've already found that, haven't you, with some of your clients you're now seeing, and you're doing a remarkable job. So with these different scenarios, whatever is happening, the outcome is always the healing for that client that is with me. It's always providing them with a sense of well-being. And if I do find something else that's attached, once they have been shifted on, we're able to take them back to their past life and we're able to explore it nice and easily and peacefully, and the rest of the session tends to go as planned. What I would say is our universe, our world, is far more strange and beautiful and wonderful and unique than we could ever possibly know and understand. But when we're open to these different journeys and experiences for healing the self, it opens us up to all sorts of possibilities. And I feel very, very privileged to have the job that I have, to be able to work with people from all different scenarios and backgrounds, because my life has become an adventure with what I do. Every day is something different. And the outcomes I see are phenomenal. Sometimes I see miracles in front of me as these things are released, whether it's from past life or whether it's an entity. Now, there's certain different ways that you can tell for yourself what might be going on. So some of you may experience dreams where you keep going to a past life scenario. Some of you may have even had flashes of that coming forwards. A way that you can explore that for yourself is to simply meditate, relax, and see what comes to mind and begin to write a journal on it. You may only get snippets to start with, but as it keeps coming forward, you're likely to get more information. I also keep a diary next to my bed, like a dream journal, and I write things because if past lives come forward for me in my dreams, they also tend to be mixed with present life memories, and it's trying to dissect and work out what's past life and what's present. And that's because my mind still needs to make sense of it, and that's what it's attempting to do. That is one way that you can explore your own past life experiences. Alternatively, you can go to a therapist like myself, and you can explore them. And I would say, whether you've done that or not before, it's a fantastic and fascinating experience. Not only can you release traumas and burdens and issues that you've been carrying around that you didn't even know that you had, it's really interesting as well, but also you can use it to your advantage to find skills and gifts and potentials that you've had in previous lifetimes to now use in the present lifetime. So I had one lady who went back to a previous life as a healer and she used herbal medicines. But when she accessed that information, she's now remembering it in the present lifetime and she's using it to benefit herself and the people she's working with. If you're getting little niggles or hearing voices or feeling there's something else with you, once again, that is worthwhile exploring. Simply asking myself, is this part of my own energetic system? Or is it something external, and see what comes to mind? If it's something internal, that shows you probably need to do some standard therapeutic work within yourself. If you get an indication it's something external, you may be able to clear it yourself, or you may want a friend to clear it for you, or a professional like myself. It depends on the impact it's having on you. What I would say is, if you've got anything, no matter on what level of your being, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, social, energetic, or spiritual, you will always feel better if you deal with it. You will always feel lighter and it will always help you to get to where you need to be. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to be quiet now because I realise I've opened lots of different doors to lots of different avenues there. And I'm going to let you ask me any questions if you've got any questions you would like to ask me about that. Has anyone got anything they would like to know or would like clarifying? Yes.
How do you put somebody into hypnosis to access past life?
So there are loads and loads of different techniques to put somebody in hypnosis. And it tends to be based on the type of person that they are. So sometimes I will do a check, like a susceptibility check, and I could do that on you now. So what I would say, and if anyone wants to join in with this, you can. I'd say stick your arms out. Bring your hands together. Lock your fingers and give them a squeeze. Now I want you to lift your index fingers up and hold them about an inch apart. And I want you just to stare at the gap in the middle. And I want you to imagine now there's a really strong magnet in between those fingers that begins to pull it closer and closer together. And the more you try to pull your fingers apart, the stronger they get. And the stronger it gets, the closer they get. And the closer they get, the quicker they move. And the more you try to resist, the stronger that magnet becomes as they move closer and closer now. That's right. And if you just lower your hands down. Different people will have had different experiences. Some people will have noticed their fingers went together almost instantly. So that would indicate to me those people may work very well with a rapid induction, something that takes them almost instantly into a relaxed state. The people whose fingers are sort of wiggling as they respond to my suggestions, that would show me that I can pretty much choose anything I want, but I might just do a progressive muscle relaxation. It might be that I get them to look at their hand and fix their eyes on it, and as their hand drifts down to their face or lap, they go into hypnosis. The people then who hold their fingers still or resist, they need a completely different way to go into hypnosis. They need me to use their resistance to my advantage. So I need to build that resistance and build it and build it and build it until they can bear it no longer so that they then go down. So once they're in hypnosis, I would deepen that hypnosis. I'll take them into a deeper and deeper state of relaxation. And then I will get them to access their past life. And there's loads of different ways you can do this. So for some people, I might take them down a corridor. And down that corridor, there's different doorways, and each one represents a different past life. And when you select the relevant door, as you go through it, you go into that past life. Somebody else that I work with may have a real affinity with guides or angels. So I may ask them to call their guides or angels forwards to work with them. And that guide or angel will help them to drift back into the previous lifetime that's relevant. For another person, say they're interested in books, I might take them to a library. And the library's full of loads of different books, but they're drawn to one particular book and it's about them throughout time and their existence. And they'll go and start to flick through the book and it will fall open on a page. And that page will draw them into that past life experience as they connect in with it. Really, it's imagination. It can be anything. But but it's a way of using the idea of using something to help them travel through time to get back to that past life. Has that answered your question? Lovely.
Thank you.
Has anyone got anything else they would like to
have
ask?
Have you ever come across somebody who you've been, who you've not been able to put under?
Under hypnosis, I've had three people in my time. One of them when I was newly qualified, the first hypnotherapy course I went on wasn't the best. I'm always going to be grateful for it because it got me on my path, but I was limited in terms of techniques and skill. I had one man who came to me, first session he went under hypnosis beautifully. Second session he freaked out and he just wouldn't go under hypnosis. Found out a couple of years later it's because he was harbouring a very big secret that he was worried would come out and he didn't want his family to know. As soon as he told his family, he then came back to me and we successfully completed the work. And then the third one is a gentleman that I work with in different ways, and he will not allow himself to go. He's had trauma after trauma after trauma, and just getting himself into a relaxed state for anything, he will not allow himself to do it. So we use different therapeutic techniques instead. So no, not everybody goes under hypnosis. The majority of the people will if you use the right technique. And if they feel comfortable with you as a therapist, it's so important to have that right connection. And I always say I wouldn't ever want anybody to work with me if they didn't feel I was right for them, if they didn't feel comfortable with me, because you're only going to get the best if you feel connected to somebody and you feel like they're going to be able to make a positive difference and keep you safe in that difference and that change. Yes?
You said some clients had significant changes following the treatment.
Yes.
Can you give us an example?
So I had one lady, and she was very, very frightened of almost everything. She had gone through a really traumatic death. It wasn't very nice. It was a traumatic life. She'd been locked in a cupboard and abused as a child in that lifetime, beaten and eventually killed. So spent her whole life living in this fear of when am I going to be attacked? And all that fear and that pain had come through into this lifetime. So although she'd had a normal, healthy upbringing, everything frightened her, every relationship panicked her. And as soon as we released and healed the trauma, she all of a sudden started feeling like she could connect into her family, that she was no longer jumpy all the time. She was no longer looking over her shoulder. Other times it might be that somebody comes for a really obscure phobia and they don't know where it's come from. And we go to the past life, we find out it's something that happened in the past life or how they died. And as soon as we've healed that, they're all of a sudden able to face that fear. And before they perhaps couldn't even be in the same room or heard it mentioned. I had a lady a little while ago who had a terrifying fear of tarantulas. And even if she said the word tarantula in her own head, she would completely freak out. Now, as soon as we healed that issue, a few minutes later, she was sat there saying, I can't believe like even saying a word in my head would make me be in floods of tears and panic me. And so she's just gone on holiday to Australia. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing about how she's got on. But she was going to try and get to a zoo beforehand because she wants to now go and hold a tarantula. So that's quite exciting. So I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing the picture of that soon.
Sorry.
You have a lovely sound bath.
My sound bath.
Has anyone got anything else they'd like to know? Yes.
Does everyone benefit from past life regression? Is it the only people who have some kind of issue?
I think everybody benefits. I think even if you're just doing it from a curiosity point of view, I think it's really interesting. I know for me, the first time I experienced it was just because it was part of my training. So I said, yep, I'll be the volunteer. Wasn't even sure if I really believed in it. I was open. And I had the most boring, mundane life that I went to. I was a man, but nothing significant happened. But that gave it credibility because I thought, oh, do you know what? It didn't occur that I could be a man. And also the other thing that never occurred to me is that I could just have a boring life because I know I've got quite a vivid imagination. But what it did show me was that I'm safe. Even if something happens to my body in this lifetime, my body is my vehicle that gets me from A to B. My soul is okay. My soul will always will be okay. But also it made me realise the people I love and care about, they keep appearing in my journey. I've been with them before, I'll be with them again. And that was really reassuring. And I think going through that experience just has got rid of so much fear on so many different levels that I didn't even know I was carrying around. Fear of illness, fear of death. It's made me feel closer to people I love. It's made me view relationships with other people differently. So if somebody comes into my life now and they cause me hassle or grief, I now ask, what lessons can I learn from this? How can it help me to evolve? Or is there something that needs to be healed and resolved between us, rather than why is this person making my life a misery? Likewise, if somebody comes into my life that is wonderful, it makes me appreciate so much more that dynamic and what I can learn from them. And also ask that question of, have we been together in a previous life? And sometimes we have, and I love it when that happens. It's amazing. So yeah, I think anyone can benefit. I think past life regression, just like Reiki, is something you come to when you're ready. I think you only tend to go into that experience when the time's right for you. I think sometimes people don't always go into it if they've got too much going on in this lifetime that they need to sort out first. If they're carrying excessive fear about what they might experience, that doesn't faze me. I would simply work on the fear with them to get rid of that first, so that we could then proceed to the past life experience. Very occasionally, I have had it where there's a block put in place where a higher source comes in and says, access denied, you're not allowed that information at this time because it's going to change the course of a path or a decision that you need to make. So that person's gone away and come back at a later date when they're able to have that information. And then it all tends to come forward and flow beautifully. Has anyone got anything else they'd like to ask?
Does it take a few sessions to heal any traumas from past lives?
Rarely. Normally it's just a session. It depends on what the trauma is. Sometimes the same repeating patterns can occur over multiple lifetimes. Normally you can still find that out very quickly and resolve them all and say, well, what are the similarities or commonalities? Let's shift it all at the same time. But it just depends on the complexity. But I prefer to just get things done. I think if we're accessing something, let's deal with it, let's shift it, let's release it now.
So, yeah. So you wouldn't book an hour session, would you?
I tend to allow like an hour and a half to 2 hours with things, so that's time to really explore the past life, but also to do any of the healing elements or any of the exploratory elements afterwards, because sometimes we might go through a past life session quite quickly, but what the person needs is an in-depth in-between life experience. So in that in-between life experience, it would be really looking at what they've learned over that journey, but also what they've been learning throughout their existence. So within that in-between space, we might go to, say, a council of elders, and those elders will be able to give them a general view of how they're progressing on their spiritual journey and to give them a greater insight into their purpose in this lifetime. Sometimes we'll explore in depth of, why did you choose to be this person in this lifetime? Why did you choose the body you're in? Did you get any choice over who your parents were, where you were born, your level of intelligence? How are the different dynamics playing out? Sometimes we'll interact with other members of the soul family to see what contracts have been made and are they on target and are we fulfilling them. So it can be really fascinating, a session. It can go wherever it needs to go, really. And I always trust that my sessions will go to wherever the client needs them to go the most. And it can be quite a transformative experience.
Have you had any surprises from clients that their famous past lives?
So I had one lady. So normally you get people that are not famous. There's not that many famous people, and that also gives it credibility to me. I've never had anybody say, like, I'm Cleopatra or I'm Elvis. The only one that I ever had was a lady that was a famous ceramicist. So she painted pottery. And the lady herself had never heard of this woman. But I was like, I'm sure watching, like, the Antiques Roadshow or Bargain Hunt or something, I've heard that name before. Yeah. And I connected in, and so that was the name. She's like, it's like Clarice. And I was like, yeah, I know who you are. But she didn't have a clue. She'd never come across that person. So I was like, look, actually, I think you might have been this lady. She's like, what? So that was quite exciting. I liked it when that happened.
Yeah. Yes. How many past lives can one person have?
I don't know a definitive answer to that, but I think many. So some people can have a few. Some people can have lots and lots and lots. I mean, since I've been doing this, I must have experienced about 40 of my own past lives so far. And like more keep presenting themselves every so often. I'll be sometimes just doing something random around the house, making myself dinner or something, and another one will pop up. Other times I'll have a scenario present itself for me. And I'll say to my husband, who I've trained in this, so he can always be there to help me, like, I need a past life session tonight. When I finish work, could you just take me into hypnosis? And it's always relevant for what I need at that time. Quite often I do that if I meet a new person and I think, oh, I know them. You know, when you're just walking about in your day-to-day life and you all of a sudden meet somebody and you just click and you feel like, I know you, I've known you before. And sometimes I just can't help it but to have a little nosy as to how I've known them before. But it's always a really exciting journey. So, you know, the man on the cacao stand, he's, I think he's in a bright yellow top today, Giles. I know him because he came on my hypnotherapy training course and now he's done past life training with me. But as soon as we started chatting, we just felt that we knew each other. And so we've explored three or four of our past lives together now. And he's always been in my life as a soul connection, part of my soul family, to always be supportive. And I've always been supportive of him. And so whenever I see him, he fills me like with a feeling of sunshine because we just know each other. We've been friends for a long time. I've been his dad. He's been my dad. We've been brother and sister. We've been friends. Just really nice. Has anyone got anything else they'd like to ask or know? Thank you ever so much for listening to me. I hope there was something in it that was relevant for you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. So thank you ever so much for your time. Thank you.